It's time for the Christian's Hour. Welcome to the Christian's Hour broadcast, where our purpose is to honor the name of Jesus as Lord and to teach a lesson from God's Word, the Bible. Our speaker this month is Aaron Brockett. Aaron is the lead pastor of the Traders Point Christian Church in Indianapolis. Today he will bring to a close this series of messages from the book of Luke. Following his inspiring message, I will have information about ways you can share this message with others, especially those who are not Christian and those who are currently outside church. Now here's Aaron.
It was the 1930s, and a man named Harry Bailey was about to lose his family, but he didn't know it. He and his wife had been married for several years. They had a few kids, a growing family, but they were beginning to grow further and further apart in their marriage relationship. A young, attractive woman sort of caught his eye at work, and he liked the way that she made him feel, and it wasn't long until that turned into an affair. And so Harry would oftentimes come home from work. He would eat dinner with his family, and then he would announce that he forgot something back at the office or he had to go run an errand, but he really wasn't fooling anybody. His wife began to catch on to what was happening, and she tried to intervene, but he denied, and nothing seemed to work. And one day when Harry came home for the day, he found an empty house. His wife had packed her and the kids' things up, and in its place, she had left a letter on the kitchen counter explaining to him that she was leaving and that she wanted a divorce. And it was as if in that instance, like the veil that had previously been blinding him got pulled back to the reality of what was happening, and Harry dropped to his knees in that empty house, and he began to weep, realizing what he had just traded. And it wasn't a good trade. For the next year or so, he drifted. He struggled with depression. He was angry. He was hopeless. But Harry had a couple of friends who happened to be followers of Jesus, and they wouldn't give up on him. And they were praying for him, and they were reaching out to him, and they were loving him like right where he was, and they kept inviting him to the church that they went to. The name of the church was Racine Christian Church, kind of a small little church outside of town. And Harry would politely decline their invitation because a couple reasons. He had never been much of a religious man. And number two, he was a divorcee due to an affair he had had. And he was like, all it's going to take is for these people to find out what I've done, and then they're going to be slinging all kinds of shame and judgment my way. Thanks, but no thanks. But his friends were persistent, and there was something different about them. And so after about a year of those invites, Harry reluctantly gave in, mostly just to get them off his back. And Harry went to church, and what he experienced wasn't what he thought he was going to experience. And he experienced love and grace from this imperfect group of people. And he heard the gospel message. It was different than the religious message he thought he was going to hear, that there is a God who loves you right where you are. And within the next year, Harry ended up giving his life to Jesus, and a radical transformation happened. Now, he wasn't perfect, but he was different. And several months later, he ended up meeting a young lady within that church, and they began to date, except this time their relationship was based upon something different. And they eventually got married. And then Harry began to feel this sense of conviction to reach back out to his former wife, to reconnect with his kids. And because he did that, it made an impact upon them. They began to attend church. It actually changed the trajectory of their lives because Harry had a son who then ended up giving his life to Jesus. Then he grew up, he had a daughter who gave her life to Jesus. Then she had a son who gave his life to Jesus. And the reason why I know that to be true is because that's me. Harry Bailey was my great-grandfather. And I have to tell you that we briefly overlapped a little bit. I was just a really small boy when he died. I vaguely remember going to his funeral, but I don't remember him much. I know that I was around him, but I can't wait one day to get to heaven and to sit down with my great-grandfather. And I'm so thankful that he had a group of friends that didn't give up on him. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Harry Bailey. is that there was a gap in the life that Harry Bailey was living and the life that God wanted him to live. That there was a gap between the peace and the hope and the joy and the fulfillment that Harry Bailey was experiencing, and then the peace and the joy and the hope and the fulfillment that God wanted him to have. And through his friends, they closed the gap. And then Jesus radically changed his life. Now, here's what I know about me. Here's what I know about you, even if we've never met. There's a gap. There's a gap between the life that maybe you're living. There's a gap between the life that I'm living and the life that God really wants you to live. Regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, there's a gap between maybe the influence that you could have and the influence God wants you to have. There's perhaps a gap right now in your friendships or maybe even your marriage. And maybe the friendships or the marriage that God wants for you to have. Maybe there's a gap in the financial peace that you could have if you would trust God in that area of your life and the financial stress or reality that you're currently experiencing. Here's the really good news. Whatever the gap is for you, Jesus closes the gap. See, I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. It says, you lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away, that's the gap from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Man, that's really good news. That's like if I could just summarize the entire Bible, if I dare, into one passage, there's maybe several that I could use. That'd be one of them. That we are brought near to God. There is a gap, and we can hardly comprehend just how radical the concept of Jesus' forgiveness is. Some of us don't know it. Some of us have gotten so used to it that we've forgotten how potent that really is. You see, religion allows a person to perhaps maybe feel worthy after they do whatever they can to cleanse themselves, which is impossible. The religion, actually what it says is if you can pay the price, if you can feel bad enough about yourself, then maybe you can be accepted. But be careful because, you know, you could actually fall out of God's good graces if you do enough bad things. But the gospel says Jesus invites you just as you are. And Jesus connects you. And that Jesus reconciles us back to God. And through Jesus' effort and Jesus' effort alone, he closes the gap. And for those of us who have experienced that, then the automatic, most natural thing that we could do or should do is to close the gap for others. In fact, I would say that's the only appropriate response to God's grace. Now, if you're just now joining us, we are in a series in the Gospel of Luke. We're calling it Settled in Spirit. The reason why is because there's a lot of unsettled spirits in our world right now. We are having a difficult season. And Luke takes the time to write his gospel for a friend of his named Theophilus to close the gap for him. And he says, listen, I've taken the time to put together an orderly account so that you might come to believe. And so we are looking at this together, and we find a really great example of this in chapter 5, verse 27. So if you would, just follow along with me as we unpack this passage together. It says, later as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi. Levi is his Jewish name. Later, his name's going to be changed to Matthew, which is his Aramaic name. And this is the same Matthew who writes the Gospel of Matthew. And he's sitting at his tax collector's booth. And this is what Jesus says. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. Now, what I want you to know about this is that Levi is a Jewish man who is working for the Roman IRS. And because of that, he is hated and despised for a couple of different reasons. The Romans taxed everything. And not only that, but they hated what they spent the money on. So just naturally, they despised Roman taxation. In fact, the word tax collector in the Hebrew literally meant oppression and injustice. They just saw it as oppressive. Now, especially if you were a Jewish person working for that corrupt system, then the Jewish community despised you all the more. So what I need you to understand is that Levi is shunned and ignored from the entire Jewish community. He was not allowed in their synagogues. In other words, Levi wouldn't have been welcome at church. They would have seen him come in. They would have been like, what are you doing here? You are an oppressive tax collector. And so I'm sure that he had gotten used to working the tax collector's booth and just feeling people just ignore him or maybe be extremely rude towards him. And yet here you have Jesus walk along, and Jesus actually stops at the tax collector's booth and he looks him right in the eyeballs. This is maybe the first time that's happened in a long time. And I love what Jesus does here. Jesus doesn't say, hey, let's get together. I'd like to find out a little bit about who you are. Talk to me, share your heart with me. Jesus just looks at him and says, hey, Levi, follow me. Like, I want you to be my disciple. Levi hadn't done anything to prove himself. Levi hadn't expressed any remorse at this moment. Jesus just goes right into his life and says, I want you to be my disciple. What is maybe even more surprising than what Jesus says to Levi is what Levi says to Jesus. Look at this. It says, Levi got up, he left everything, and he followed him. Like, no questions asked. Like, this isn't just like follow him for a day. This isn't like, hey, let me just kind of pack things up at the tax collector's booth for today, and then I'll come back to it tomorrow. No, this is the equivalent of him leaving his job. He just walked away from this very lucrative career. Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen this. In fact, several weeks ago, if you've been joining us in this study of Luke, Jesus calls a few fishermen to do the same thing. And they leave their fishing nets and they follow after Jesus. I would contend that what Levi just did here was way more costly. For starters, the fishermen likely... It was a family business, so it was like a small family affair, and they would have left it to some other family members, and if they wanted, they could have gone back to it. In fact, many of them did. They were bivocational. What Levi does here is he actually burns some bridges. He walks away from the tax collector's booth. There's no going back. There's no way that they're gonna let him come back to this position because they would have seen it as sort of breaking trust, but not only that, as soon as he vacates the tax collector's booth, there would have been a whole bunch of other young leaders in the organization ready and willing to take his place. So Levi does something pretty dramatic. So what's Jesus doing here? Well, Jesus is closing the gap for Levi. He's like, hey, when he says, hey, follow me and be my disciple, what Jesus is saying is, hey, Levi, there's a gap between the life that you could live and the life you're actually living. Let me close the gap. Levi, there's some hope and some joy and some fulfillment that you could have, and I want to close the gap for you. And it dramatically changed Levi's life. And what I want you to see is that the very first thing that Levi does is he wants to get his friends to Jesus as well. Look at it, verse 29. It says, later, Levi held a banquet, which is just a nice word for party, all right? The original language, this is a party, all right? In his home with Jesus as the guest of honor, and many of Levi's fellow tax collectors, so these other corrupt, oppressive colleagues, and I love this, other guests. That's a category for all kinds of riffraff, all kinds of colorful people. They also ate with them. Now, what I want you to see in that is that of all the things that Levi could have done as a brand new follower of Jesus, that's what he chooses to do. Like Levi could have been like, well, you know, I guess I'm spiritual now, so I probably need to start listening to K-Love and I need to get some spiritual friends, right? There's nothing wrong with K-Love, all right? Maybe he's like, hey, I need to, you know, put a Jesus fish on the back of my camel. I shouldn't have a party because that could get a little bit out of hand. They might get the wrong idea. So maybe let's just have some people over and we'll have some finger foods and have some fellowship. You know, he could have said, hey, you know, I'm actually kind of embarrassed. I don't really know how my unchurched friends are gonna really kind of think about this. And so let me just kind of keep the Jesus thing on the down low for a little while. I'll just let my actions be my witness. No, instead, Matthew throws a party. And this is a party for his former colleagues and drinking buddies. This is a party for the party girls and even the guys who are probably gonna end up going over in the corner and smoking pot later in the evening. He says, I just want you to come over to my house because I want you to get in close proximity to Jesus. Why? Because there's no way they're going to the synagogue. There's no way they would be welcome there. There's no way that they would feel welcome there. And so he goes, okay, what do I do? Well, let me get them over to my house because I want them to experience the love and the grace of Jesus. Can I just ask you this question? Does that sound very spiritual to you? It's actually the most spiritual thing that you could do. Because whenever you've had the gap closed in your life, the automatic response to grace is like the air that you breathe. You should very naturally want to close the gap for others. Did Levi have all the answers? No way. Did Levi had it all figured out just yet? Absolutely not. Did he know who did? You bet. And he's like, I just want to get my friends in close proximity to Jesus. You know, one of the things that I've been wanting to do right now is that we've like for the last 6 months, like it's been so challenging and difficult. And I've gotten to this place where I'm just like, you know what? I'm tired of being in the doom loop. Anybody tired of being in the doom loop? Anybody tired of being anxious and worried? And you know what? I fully believe that God is in control. And every time I go to the doom loop, I think that God takes offense. Like, he's like, hey, man, I've got it. Like, I'm in control. And one of the things I've begun to do is just mentally in my mind, and now I'm even trying to put it down on paper, is just to try to list all the ways that I see God at work in this season. And I would encourage you to do the same. What is it that God is doing? I believe he's at work. I believe he's got a full plan for all this. He's not caught off guard by any of it. And I believe that one of the things that God is doing is he is allowing the message of Jesus, if we'll allow him to work through us, to get to more people through this time. You see, prior to the pandemic, I don't know, we would have roughly 10,000 people show up at our physical campuses. We would have maybe another 2,000 or 3,000 people join us online. But during this time, I don't know, we have something around 16, 17,000 people joining us consistently every weekend. Like as far as like overall people that are engaging with us, it's more, not less. And I believe that God is doing something. He's saying, hey, listen, if they won't come to us, we'll go to them. Hey, they're stuck at home. They can't get into a physical gathering. But hey, that doesn't mean that we can't go. That doesn't mean that we can't help close the gap for others. See, this is what Levi was doing. Levi was closing the gap between his friends and Jesus. And this should be the norm. I gotta tell you, when I get to heaven, there's a small list of people I'm making a beeline to, that I wanna sit down with and hang out with and talk to. And my great-grandfather, Harry Bailey, is one of them. But you know who else is on that list? The friends that invited him to church. The friends that didn't give up on my great-grandfather. The friends that didn't write him off. And I wanna thank them because of their boldness to help close the gap. It changed the trajectory of my family tree. It changed my life. But there were some people that weren't happy about it. There always are. Look at what it says in verse 30. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly. Is there any other way? To Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? And that is maybe one of the saddest questions in the Bible. And I love Jesus' response because it is perfect. Jesus answered them, well, healthy people, they don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Translation, I've come to call people who are ready to get real. And Jesus goes, man, anytime somebody gets real, they will never be turned away by me. They will never experience shame and judgment by me. I love that analogy that Jesus gives. I think that it's brilliant. Because what he does here, it's the perfect balance of grace and truth. The Pharisees, as they often did, this is a trap. And Jesus could have like been really hard on them and be like, man, you're right. You know, what am I doing hanging out with them? And that would have crushed their spirits and they would have walked away. Or he could have been like, hey, they're not that bad. And then all of a sudden he's overlooking their sin. Jesus perfectly combines grace and truth. And he doesn't excuse or deny or minimize their sin. He acknowledges it. He goes, yeah, they're sinning. Like right now, like right in front of me. Like they are sinners. The question is what are we going to do about it? Are we just gonna create holy huddles? Are we just gonna create an environment where Christians feel welcome? Are we gonna create churches just for Christians? Or are we going to, out of a response to the grace that's been given to us, close the gap and help people come to see the grace that we've received? And the analogy that he gives us is so vivid in our minds. He goes, yeah, they're totally sick. But I'm a doctor, and that's what doctors do. I love that. Just think about this. Let's just say that you're not feeling very well, and somebody says, well, you ought to call this doctor's office because she is a brilliant doctor. She knows so much. She knows so much about medicine, and she's going to get you better. And so you're like, all right, I'm on it. So you call the doctor's office. You try to set up an appointment, and they get all your details. And then the very last question, they say, well, are you healthy right now, or are you sick? And you're like, well, I'm sick. And they're like, well, I'm sorry, we can't see you. Because we only see healthy people. Now, I don't care how much that doctor knows. She ain't a good doctor. Because good doctors hang out with sick people. It's like part of what they do. And Jesus says, I'm a doctor. And I'm gonna hang out with sick people. And when self-righteousness gets in the way of sick people getting to a doctor, Jesus has very little patience. In fact, Jesus had all kinds of patience with people and their baggage and their junk in their life. The one thing that he didn't have patience for was self-righteousness. And he still doesn't today. For two reasons. Number one, we live in a world where people are desperately looking for hope. Would you not agree with that? It's everywhere. People are looking for hope, especially nowadays. And number two, when we as Christ followers mess this up, it messes people up. Sometimes for a long time, perhaps even for eternity. And the message of the church is hope. And in a world shrouded in darkness and constantly knocking you down, the message of Jesus is, hey, listen, you can get back up. This time, try it by my grace. So here's the question that I really want you to wrestle to the ground. And this is for those of you who are following Jesus right now. I want you to wrestle this uncomfortable question to the ground. Who am I closing the gap for? And I don't want you to go, well, that's an interesting question, and then move on. I want you to camp on that for a little while. And I want you to give some thought. I want you to talk to God about this. I want you to talk about this around your dinner table. And maybe a good way to think about this is maybe who are the people in my life that would be the most difficult for me to close the gap for? Maybe that's the question. And perhaps that's who Jesus is calling you to love. See, maybe it's a group of people. Maybe it's somebody who has different political convictions than you do, or maybe they see social issues a little bit differently than you. And that's who God is calling you to help close the gap for, because getting them to Jesus is the priority, not being right. Maybe for you, it's a name. You just need to list a name. You just need to write it down on a piece of paper or put it into your phone. Well, how do I close the gap? Well, I don't know. Let's go back to what Levi did. What did Levi do? Levi threw a party. Can you do that? Man, I think I can do that. Levi's like, man, I'm just gonna throw a party. Why do you throw parties? Well, so that people can come and not feel isolated anymore. People can come and let their guard down. People can come and get real. People can come and feel included and accepted. And Levi's like, I don't really know how to engage in conversation with them about how God has changed my life, but let me just get them shoulder to shoulder with the man who changed mine. And Jesus says that his spirit lives within you now. And so people need to see Jesus in you. They don't just need to hear about it at a distance. So how do we close the gap? Let me just give you a couple of suggestions. Here's the first one, is that we need to close the gap right now with understanding and empathy. And we, would you not agree, these things are in really short supply right now in our world today. This whole idea of just, can I say it this way? Maybe you've heard the phrase this way before, seeking to understand before being understood. The most natural human response that all of us have is, well, I want you to understand where I'm coming from. And what that does is it creates a gap. It creates distance. But if we could just sort of listen more and talk less, we could empathize with where somebody is at. Because oftentimes the issue, like, really isn't the issue. As Christ followers, one of the ways we close the gap is to empathize with those and what they're going through. You see, when others don't think that we care, when we fail to identify with what they're going through, automatically they feel shamed and belittled and judged and dismissed, and it always widens the gap. Listen, followers of Jesus should be the model for how to do this well, even with people we don't agree with. Here's the next application. Close the gap by not being so easily offended. Would you not agree that right now we are perhaps more offended than ever? And I think the reason why is because we are experiencing right now a global pandemic, which then triggered or caused a national lockdown, which triggered an economic meltdown. While your kids got sent home e-learning, as you tried to work from home, followed by social unrest and riots, in the middle of an election year, While all your vacation plans got canceled, so you are stuck at home and you spent way too much time reading all the crazy posts on social media. That's why we're so offended. Proverbs chapter 19, 11 says this, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." Some of us need to print that verse out and set it above our computer screen or tape it to our phone every time we read a social media post that we don't like or agree with, and to recognize that good sense makes me slow to anger. So can I just ask you today, are you easily offended? Are you quick to anger? Are you blasting people in the comments on social media? And if you are you convincing anyone? And let me just answer it. No, you're not. And you're possibly widening the gap between others and Jesus. Here's the third thing. Close the gap by being gracious and loving. I had a mentor tell me when I was in college, he said, "Aaron, never ever forget this. We are saved by grace. That ought to make us gracious." And when we are not gracious, we have to ask ourselves, what did we really experience on the day of our conversion? Because if it's grace, then that should be the automatic response. Can I just pray for you? Lord God, if it really is true that you closed the gap, would you close it for me today? And I need what only you can give. And so if this is real, God, I want it. So I just confess my sins. I admit to you who I am. But if you would save me by your grace, I want that. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that you are my Savior. And I want you to be Lord over every area of my life. So would you please come in and do a renewing work within me? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we thank Aaron for his lessons from Luke this month that seek to close the gap between faith and unbelief. The famous Daniel Webster said, "The Bible is a book of faith, a book of doctrine, a book of morals, and a book of religion of special revelation from God. But it is also a book which teaches man his own individual responsibility, his own dignity, and his equality with his fellow man." For a free copy of today's program for yourself or to share with a friend or neighbor, please call us at 608-783-6490. That's 608-783-6490. Please leave your name and your mailing address, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy or several copies if you wish to share them with family or friends. The copies, again, are free, and our number is 608-783-6490. If you want to download your own copy, you'll find it online at oneplace.com, iTunes.com, GooglePlay.com, and over our website, which is thechristianshour.org, thechristianshour.org. I'm Bill McClure, program host. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next week for another edition of the Christian's Hour broadcast.